And for the pledge of allegiance, your life.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Evening, everyone. Welcome to our meeting. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Trustee Harris is excused. We are going to move item 10, the developer's agreement for Old Chapel Hill. We'll move that up to 4B.
Can we do that?
Why don't we do 5B? 5B. Are there any other modifications to the agenda?
We do have the two liquor license people here.
For 11?
Yeah. They're right on top. Number 6 and 7.
Yeah, we can keep them there. Okay, do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as modified? Trustee Atwood, second. By Trustee Genrich. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. This is National Public Works Week. Craig can't wait. National Public Works Week sets aside a week when we can thank our hardworking teams and staff for taking care of our village. Our Public Works Department, headed by Craig Barron, takes care of our Streets Department, takes care of our water, takes care of our garbage and our recycling, our brush pickup, our snow plowing, our bulk pickup, and lots of other things. So on behalf of the Village Board, we'd like to thank our staff. They work extremely hard. We always get good comments back from our village residents. And so thank you very much. Craig, please let the staff know that we thank them. Next, it's National Police Week. And our police officer is walking some people out the door. But this
the boy scouts.
No, they're not arrested.
They have more uniforms.
Yeah, they have all uniforms. But we are supported through the Brown County Sheriff's Department. We're very thankful for the work that our DEO, Jason Vogel, and our other officers provide. Alloway, people like to say Alloway is like a Mayberry, nice and safe. But it's thanks to our police officers that is in due part. So on behalf of the Village Board, Jason, thank you very much. The assessment roll will be open for examination at the Village of Alloway, so property assessments. And when is that? That is going to be on May 20th here at Village Hall. The books will be open for review during regular office hours. Instructional material about the assessment, how to file an objection, and Board of Review procedures under Wisconsin law will also be available at that time. The village assessor for the Village of Alloway will be here Friday, May 20th from 8 till 10 to answer any questions that you might have about your property assessments. I have one other announcement, and that is today at the Alloway Business Association, we recognized our two businesses of the year here in Alloway. We do one large business and one small business. The Large Business of the Year award went to the Village Grill over on Hoffman Road, and the Small Business of the Year went to Doug's Take 5 restaurant on Riverside Drive, so one on each side of town. congratulations to those businesses and to all of our businesses. Do we have any other announcements from the board? Do we have any announcements from the staff?
Just want to take the opportunity, whenever we have anyone here, to promote our farmers market. We'll begin on Thursday, July 7th, 3:30 till 6:30, in combination with the Village Hall and Bellin next to us. And I think we're up to 35 vendors, whatever, and 10 produce, 8 to 10 produce vendors. So the market has certainly increased, which is a tribute to those that attended last year, and I think it'll be better this year.
Great, thank you. It is. There's our police officer. Hello, Jason. Did you know it's National Police Week?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations, and thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Hearing none, we will close out public appearance or the announcement section and move on to public appearances. Is there anyone who would like to address the board regarding anything that is not on the agenda this evening? Anyone from the public? Okay. Hearing none, we will close that out and move on to number 5. Action regarding Ordinance 2016-06, amending Section 6.12e, animals to remove the requirement of a signed letter of no objection from adjacent neighbors in order to obtain a hen license in the Village of Alloway. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
So moved.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Discussion?
I think we reversed that.
We did
just a little discussion on it.
Yeah.
When I went back and I looked at this and I looked at our notes from last time. Yeah.
Wow.
And I went back and I looked at our notes from last time. One of the things that came up was, and I made a note of it, that in this particular case, the lady who wasn't responding to the notifications did actually respond through her son by informing the neighbor that she was not going to sign it. So I think that based on the way that ordinance is written, to just strike that clause is not doing justice to that neighbor who refused to sign it. We're circumventing her by doing that.
Well,
so.
But she doesn't even live there anymore and is not moving back there. We only had that provision in the ordinance because it was a brand new ordinance and it was to mainly do education and see how this went for a couple of years. And when we passed that ordinance, it was even with the provision of this will be removed in a couple of years once we see how it goes and if everything's okay. It's just at least I know I didn't pay attention to removing that. I would have liked to have removed it before now. It was just this issue that happened to bring it to a head that said, you know, we really don't need this anymore. Urban chickens are
common,
really common anymore. None of the surrounding municipalities do it. And actually, DePier has a really great brochure I forwarded on to Brad that even explains more about the chickens. So I guess I just don't want anybody to get the intent that we're trying to circumvent this one neighbor. That's really not it. We should have taken this requirement away a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we don't require people to get permission to have a
barking dog.
That's a lot more trouble than a chicken.
Yeah. So that was the intent, wasn't to circumvent. Yeah.
Okay.
Have we had any problems with chickens in the village?
We did have a chicken fire.
Yeah, not the ones that are paying attention to the ordinance like anything else.
The worst
we have
fatalities,
problems with
I understand.
Dogs when their owners
there
don't
was
pay
fatalities.
Yeah.
A light. No.
Fatality. And we don't allow roosters,
yeah.
Right? It's
yeah.
Just hens.
Yeah.
The roosters would rank up there with the dogs for noise.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion, Trustee Atwood?
No, I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion on the table and a second. No further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We have hens. Thank you. Old item number 10, new item 5B, action regarding developer's agreement with Old Chapel Hill, LLC. We will open this up to Mr. Lane. Do you fill us in? Or Trevor? Or Dennis?
I'm your third choice, I know, but nobody wants to follow Chipman. This agreement, you're all given a copy with your packet, it's been really accessible. To look at and review. It's the first thing I'm going to have to ask you to do is to conditionally approve it. I still need evidence that the LLC has been formed by the developer. And I checked with the Department of Financial Institutions this morning, and I still didn't find a record of the LLC being filed with the state. And I was told that that was going to be done.
Dennis, once it's filed, does it have to be approved too, or do we just have to wait for it to be filed?
I'll need evidence from the developer that he's got an operating agreement that the LLC is a properly formed Department of Financial Institutions.
Okay, so you have to hear back from them?
Right. You don't have to do anything except conditionally approve to make sure that I make sure that we're dealing with the correct entity, the existing entity. I also shared this agreement with the Bank of Luxembourg, their attorney, because they're going to be giving the financing for the project. And like most attorneys, they had to comment on the agreement, which actually was helpful because you can't have enough eyes on these things. And just for clarification purposes, so that the board also knows that, I wanted to be very clear that the incentive that's going to be paid is going to be tied to the creation of the new increment. So I'm not confusing how the incentive will be calculated. It's just simply the new increment, and that's the value, for instance, of a 9-unit apartment building has X value. If he gets that value there, then he gets the incentive. And there's some language that it makes it a little bit messier than that, which I hope to clean up. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And so hopefully that's hopefully Debbie can capture that in a minute somehow, so that's also part of your approval for this. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on the agreement.
Could you repeat the last thing you said, because I didn't quite follow you?
The nature of this TIF agreement is the developer's saying that I'm going to give you a certain valuation above and beyond what you have on your property because
yes.
I'm putting this 9-unit or 12-unit. Then we've done some mathematics and said, well, because you've been willing to do this and create this value, then we're going to give you some money back as an incentive to do this. And all I was saying is I wanted to make it clear that the TIF incentive is going to be tied to the new increment, the value of the new increment.
I got it. No, thank you.
Sometimes when I'm explaining it in this TIF stuff, I don't understand it, but give it my best shot.
I knew we were, at one point in time, we were talking about a flat rate per building, but the buildings are different sizes, right?
We're essentially down to what is expressed as a flat rate per agreed upon valuation of what he's saying to do, so that the formula is there.
Okay.
9 equals this, 12 equals this,
yep.
And so forth.
Yep.
So that there.
And so we're only getting one building this year.
Yes, 1 9-unit, phase one, and if they can, I don't know. It's probably a 4-month construction window on something like that, at least. You know, it's not quick.
So we're just changing the phases. Total project the same.
Yes.
Any other questions for Mr. Duffy? Okay, do I have a motion on this item, Trustee Dart?
Move to approve the agreement with the condition that the LLC has been filed. And do we have to mention the wording that you're changing, or are we good with that?
Would you add that you're just going to accept the amendment I proposed?
And then with the amendment, and we'll accept the amendment that Attorney Duffy proposes.
I'll second. Seconded by Trustee Trustee Genrich, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. It's an exciting project. When do they expect to break ground?
They'll come to the board on June 7th for the final public hearing. And then we have the state approved plans yet to come back. So state approved plans could take anywhere from 4 or 6 weeks.
Okay. I was told they're going to own the property by the end of the month, that they're going to be closing on it. So that means they're in
the game. That's exciting.
They're in the game anyway.
Very exciting. Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Item number 6, licenses to sell fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors from July 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2017. The first is for Galley 57 LLC, Agent Andrew Mueller at 2222 Riverside Drive. I see Mr. Mueller in the back of the room. Hello, Mr. Mueller.
Hello.
Would you like to come up and say hello?
Andrew Miller, 238 Oak Hill Drive, Green Bay. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So how's business?
It's better than I expected.
Oh, good to hear.
Yeah. It's so far been well received by the people that have come in. And I think Alloway is very happy that they get their supper club back.
Great.
Yeah.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Miller? Do you have any questions for us?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Trustee Atwood, second. Trustee Dart, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? You have a liquor license.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Item 6B, license to sell fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors for Wisconsin Pub and Palette, Agent Carrie Schmeckel. Correct?
Yes.
Would you like to come say hello?
Sure.
One of our other new businesses in the village?
Yes. Carrie Schmeckel, 1043 Marvell Lane. I didn't think about it. I'm never there. Palette and Pub, and we've been open for about 3 months, and it's going really well. Very excited about that. So, I'm just looking to renew.
I did my first painting there, so not my first painting ever, but it's fun. It's very fun. So, if you haven't tried it out,
does it have those numbers that you have to?
No, but they have an artist right there teaching you exactly what to do.
Oh. We can write in numbers,
and there's one.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Any other questions? I'm glad to hear things are going well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Green. Second. Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? I just have a question, and that is, I'm assuming it's okay with your landlord to do that?
This is that's the next.
That's the next issue. We'll forget that
one. Yes, my landlord definitely wants me to stay there.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Don't leave.
You can stay there.
I might just stay there.
The next item I was jumping ahead to. Action item number 7, request from Wisconsin Pub and Palette at 516 Green Avenue to extend their premise description to allow alcohol in an outside dining area. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dent?
I'd like to move to approve as long as there's no reason why it can't happen. There's no ordinance against it in any way.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Trustee Green. Any discussion?
Go ahead. I want to see you grow. I want to see that expand. I mean, the first thing that jumps to my mind is your proximity to an ice cream shop.
Yes.
You know, and you did say it would be all
fenced
off,
correct?
Kind of like they do. And
but ours would be closer to the building, so that there'd be less access for people walking down, like the kids and such, it would be more fenced off because it would be closer. So theirs is actually into the parking lot, so it's more accessible than mine would be.
Are you looking at just like tables, little tables on the sidewalk?
Yeah, basically just the bistro seating, a few tables out there. Maybe 4 or 6, somewhere in there, depending on how large they are.
I think it's a great idea, and it'll be more inviting, too. So.
I agree. I think it would draw people in just to see something, you know, activity going on outside, as well as just, you know, nobody wants to sit in the bag in this beautiful day like today.
To me, it's that hamlet feel that has been talked about, when you can have wine outside. And also I wanted to say that it seems like the neighborhoods, people like walk down there and have glass wine and chat, and even though they're not painting, they still come in there, and it's very, very nice.
Yeah, it's been a really good surprise. We have just a ton of neighbors who walk down, so that's great, and they're getting their exercise in, but then they're also getting home safely too.
So now I'll ask a question.
Yes.
It's okay with your landlord?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
You've also talked to your neighboring businesses?
Correct.
And a question in regards to the furniture that will be outside, will that consist of type of physical?
Just metal bistro tables and metal chairs, and really that's all I plan on putting out there.
The only reason I asked, and we don't have anything in regards to specifics on our ordinances, but I was looking at some of the other ones throughout the state, and they all stress, metal or metal plastic covers, like what Zesty's has, from that same kind of texture on it for whatever purposes. And I'm sure there's some logical reason why they want all that.
Okay.
But I just want to make sure that as long as you're doing it, it might as well be along the same line.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Good luck.
And I'll see you all there.
Could be. Action item number 8, request from LaTroy Guillen for license to sell Class A fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors from May 18th, 2016 through June 30th, 2016. For premises at 1304 South Webster Avenue. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dennis. Do I have a second? Trustee Dennis. Any discussion?
We have people here.
Is Mr. Guillen here?
He's one of the great Packer players.
Well, if it's okay with the board, we'll suspend the rules and invite Mr. Guillen up.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Troy Shelton Guyon Jr., 4018 South Parker Way, De Pere, Wisconsin, 54115.
Thank you very much. So, could you fill us in on, are you purchasing the property? Or?
I already have. In the process of getting the keys tomorrow, and getting ready to do some little changing there and cleaning up and start something new, hopefully.
Oh, what are your plans?
Hopefully put some 3D walls up, hopefully change the racks to wooden racks, try to make it more moderate and more delicate in there. Try to change it up, try to change the flavor a little bit.
Okay. And so you have someone else going to be running it, or how's your...
Yeah, right now I have my girlfriend and my cousin helping me out right now with running it, because I play football. So, they help me right now and get everything in order to get ready to set up the sale.
Okay, great. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Guyon?
You're not the least bit worried about any of it, are you? As a new business, everybody goes through that.
Oh, yes, it is. Definitely make me do my homework.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is only for a month, so.
Yeah, what happens after that?
You have to renew.
He will have to fill out a renewal form, but first we have to get the original approved. And
so it's really true.
We do have the seller here, I believe, huh?
Pardon?
Deb, should I bring it in tomorrow? My license, so you can get his?
If they approve it, then you can bring it in, yes.
Okay.
I live in that neighborhood, and there's a whole lot of people really excited about the changes coming there. So
you may have to throw her out a few times.
I'll be seeing you up there.
Any other questions for Mr. Guyon?
And it'll just be contingent upon the rest of the paperwork being filed and
License
being returned from the
prior. Who made the motion, Mr. Genner?
I did.
Is that okay with you? It's
yes.
Contingent on? Okay. Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Welcome to Alloway. They just keep breaking down our doors to come into this. Action item number 9, approval of facade improvement funding for Riviera Food and Spirits at 2150 Riverside Drive. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I would love to make a motion to approve that facade grant.
Seconded by Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? Mari's not here, is she? Okay. Any discussion on that?
These are not reimbursable. This is a grant, correct?
This is a grant that is up to 50% or $10,000 of the projects. And
question. Project is $24,000, I think.
Yeah. Project is $24,000. In the application form, it said, when I was looking at it, it said that it included removing a deck structure, and I thought that they had already started work on that. But Trevor told me that that's not part of the quote that she got from the third party, so the quote on here is good, so we can still, if we approve it, we can still go with the $10,000.
Correct.
Any other discussion?
Looks like she's got some pretty exciting plans and another good addition.
I'll tell you, the one comment I was going to make was I love the sign. I think it looks cool. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be lit at night?
No, but the patrons will.
We are being recorded, Trustee.
It will be internally illuminated, but it will have to follow the lighting standards we have. So
okay.
10 p.m. or during the hours of operation.
Okay, very good. And I see that they're leaving room for two more tenants. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. When does she have any idea when she's hoping to move in or open up?
She was hoping May or this month, but she ran into some issues with the plumber and electrician and the delivery process, but hopefully soon.
Okay, great. Yep. Action item number 11, Public Works Committee minutes dated May 17, 2016. We'll take number A, Resolution 2016-17, approving the compliance maintenance report. I'll ask Mr. Barrett to fill us in on that, please.
This is the annual resolution and report that we file with the Department of Natural Resources. It basically is intended to show that we comply with our WPDS discharge permit for our sanitary sewer system. In the report, just a couple of comments. One, well, first of all, we rated A, so there's no action required on our part in any items that are covered by this. We do include, it's for general information to the DNR, we do include some of our future projects so they can see that we are working on upgrading and repairing our sanitary sewer system. We did have a sewer system overflow late in December of this past year due to the excess rain. That's about the first time in about 15 years that we had a sewer system overflow due to capacity limitations. But what happened in that storm is we had 4.5 inches of rain in about 36 hours. So this falls into a category where it is not an enforceable sewer system overflow, to the best of our knowledge. So it shows up in the report, but that's the first time we've had this in quite a while. And other items in here, we do cover, we do talk about various aspects of the management of our sanitary sewer collection system, and that's the precursor to one of our requirements is that this year we have to have a formal CMOM program. That's Capacity Management Operation and Maintenance Program, which we have pretty well in hand. There's a little bit of work left to do on that, and we'll have that requirement met then for the future. And really what it is, it's a little more, we have all the information, we do all the things that are in there. This formalizes the program into a program that staff can pull out the manual, work with, know what they need to report, know where to put the information. So it's a more formal program. It's been in the works for all of the collection systems in the state have to comply with that. So that's something that we're working on. Other than that, there's some discussion about what we're doing to reduce infiltration and inflow and things of that sort. But as I mentioned at the beginning, we do rate a 4, which is an A. So we have no mandatory requirements that we have to do other than complete our CMOM program. So I recommend that you approve the resolution, and then after that, we'll submit it to the DNR.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to cover accepting the public, the minutes, and resolution?
Move to approve.
Trustee Green, second. Trustee Genrich, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. 11, thank you. 11B, purchase of number 26 dump truck. We're nearing the end of our purchases, right, Mr. Barrett?
Yeah.
Could you fill us in on that?
Yeah. This was the last item that we had in our budget, or we have in our budget for this year for purchases. This particular vehicle is a heavy-use vehicle. We have four pieces of equipment that operate basically every day, 5 days a week. Every week of the year, this is one of them. It's a large haul truck. It's used for virtually everything we do, from leaves to brush to bulk waste to on down the line, gravel and so forth. It is, by the time we replace it, it will be in service 12 years. We don't really like to run the trucks that long, the ones that are used all the time. We'd like to replace them at 10 years or 11 years, but this one has been pretty good, and it's at 12 years, so we have in the packet the quotes. The committee recommendation is to purchase the Peterbilt truck and the truck equipment body. We have a large number of Peterbilt trucks in our fleet, so this is a companion to the other trucks. The service and maintenance is the same on all the vehicles. We get good service out of Peterbilt. It is an aluminum cab. It is a good quality truck. So that's the recommendation to the board for the purchase of this replace old number 26.
Thank you.
Any idea what the old truck's worth?
We will probably, when we get the new truck, we'll put it probably on the municipal auction site out of Madison.
Okay.
For the size of this truck. We added in the budget, I think, at $15,000. We probably will get $25,000 for it. And there is always the possibility that once we are ready to sell this, that another community may offer us a similar price for it. And if we do have that, we bring that back to the board in terms of doing that. But a lot of times, word gets out, and we get a decent offer from another community. We've done that a couple of times.
Good. Any other questions for Craig? Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green?
Move to approve purchase of the Peterbilt.
And a second. Trustee Atwood? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. On to our featured speaker, number 12, Assistant Fire Chief Fire Chief Mike Neff on the 2015 annual report. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening. I was featured. There's no pressure there. So just to kind of outline what I would like to do this evening, if it's okay with the board, I did forward a copy of the annual report to you folks earlier so that you might have a chance to look at it and I could address any questions that you have. Last year, when I made this presentation, Steve had asked me for some village-specific metrics, which I hadn't prepared, so I took the liberty of doing that, which is the packet that I left on your table in front of you. So we'll get to that after we talk about the report in general, and then there are just some changes to the organization, some transitional things that are coming up that I would like to inform you about as a follow-up. So,
great.
I guess I'd like to say, first of all, that we worked very hard on our annual report. We have learned a lot about how to compile, analyze, and show data and show how we're doing. It's always a challenge with the software that municipalities have. Sometimes it's not always the leading-edge stuff, but we've done the best we can to be able to paint a picture of what the fire department does, how well we do it, where we're strong, and where we're weak. So I'll start out. Did anybody see anything that they want to ask more about? Have any questions about some of the data that you saw in here?
These are going to sound like really dumb questions, but thank you. Looking at your graphs, and I'm on page 12, and the numbers across the bottom, what are those representing?
Those are the districts. So you folks would be District 8. So when I break this stuff out, the data comes to us, and it comes to us actually in micro districts, which we'll get to a little later. But
so I see that's broken out in District 8 E, or whatever,
right,
in the next document.
Right, and that's, I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But what I do is I pull that all together to just say, in general, how are we doing here in the village? And District 8 includes a portion of the city of Green Bay, because when we merged, we moved your boundary for that station back into the city a little bit. So District 8 actually includes some of the city. So 2 and 3 are both pretty much downtown. 4 is far west. 5 is mid-east, the Easttown Mall area. 6 is Fireman's Park out across from where the old Cub Foods was, Burlington now. 7 is far east out towards GB out in the Bay Settlement area. And as you can see, and you'll kind of see as a pattern through here, our biggest challenges are in District 7, and that's simply geographical. It's farther out than everything else. It's got lesser manning at this point. You know, there's no ladder truck out there. We're working toward getting an ambulance. That's one of the things that we address in here, and I'd like to talk just a little bit about that, because we've identified that as a weakness that we don't really find acceptable. So if you look on page 13, at the top of the page, you will see ambulance response by district. So when you analyze how fast are you getting to a sick or injured person, the first graph, which was the previous page, is when did somebody get there? And then the graph on this page is when did the paramedics get there? And so the standard is to get paramedics there in 8 minutes, provided you could get somebody there in 4 minutes. Well, we can't really get somebody there in 4 minutes. On average, we're getting somebody there in 6 minutes. So altogether, we're not really doing what we'd like to be able to do. We're not getting to the people that need our help as fast as we can. The answer to that is staff an ambulance at Station 7. So on the bottom of the page, what you see is what happens when we do and what happens when we don't. What we started doing last year is we said we really need to work towards this. Let's find out what happens when we staff it. Let's staff it when we can. So whenever we have 2 extra people above our minimum manning, we put them on Ambulance 7 and we run that rig. When we run that rig, we take 2.5 minutes off our response time in that district. That's a big deal. People that are having cardiac, and to anybody that needs help, that's a big deal. So we're building the case that we would like to demand that. Now, there's more and more and more development happening on the east side, and it's going to become a bigger need. There's a huge development that's been approved by the city council on Grandview Road. It'll take 10 or 15 years to be full, but it's moving in that direction. So the university, the housing that's gone up out there, this new development on Grandview, the new medical facilities, care for the elderly, things like that, we need to work toward this. And so that's what we're trying to demonstrate here, and you can't have the conversation unless you can prove what's happening, what isn't happening. So that's what that's all about.
I read in the paper today about funding for a new fire truck. Is that part of or fire equipment?
Well, that's not part of this, no. Okay. We generally, to keep our fleet current and functional, we generally, virtually every year, we always need at least one ambulance because we're running five in service. If we get station 7, we'll be running six all the time. And an ambulance, if you can get 5 years out of it, you're doing pretty good. Fire trucks, we don't ask for every year, but our lifespan has been right now around 8 or 9 years on a fire truck. And between the conditions of the roads, the corrosion, those types of things, they just start to wear out. So we are getting a fire truck in the works right now. We're going through the bidding process, and so there is one pending for this year. Anything else of interest in the citywide report? This is your fire department, so even though it's not all happening here in the village, I thought it was all good stuff for you. On page 17, I think it's just interesting to note there are always perceptions about when we should and shouldn't be busy, and the data never plays that out. I mean, why are we busier on Thursday? I can't answer that, but that's how it turned out. You know, and it's a fluid business. So I can't tell you that the next year the graph will look like that. Things change, and that's why when you talk about, well, if you had a slow time, let's have less people, but it may not be slow next week or next month or next year. And that, you know, you just don't know. Our business is consistent throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. There's some stuff in here about facilities. As most of you are probably aware, in the merger agreement, you will continue to own your facility. We provide the service. So I'm the facilities manager, but I don't manage your facility. I work with Fred when there are things that need to be done there. We talk together, and we figure it out, and we get it done. So I don't have that. Station 8, you will see absent from that, and that's the reason why. One thing I want to point out before we finish up with this part of it is that when you get into the operations division project areas, which starts on page 21, I have 6 battalion chiefs. I have 2 assigned to each shift. I have 3 shifts. So in addition to being responsible for the safety of 120,000 people and the staffing of the entire fire department and all the other things that they do, there's more work to be done. So they each have specific project areas, and that's what we address in the next 6 pages of this report, is what else are these guys doing? And a lot of times this is so big that they have to do it on their off time because they can't get to it during the day. But there are a lot of important things that have to get done, and they get done by this portion of my staff, the battalion chief. So these guys work very hard. If you ever get a chance to meet them, please do. And it's just, I think it's interesting for you to just see all the different things that we take on and we're responsible for and we invest time in. Other than that, fire marshal's office, again, which is something that, you know, there's a fire marshal that one of the 3 is primarily responsible for the village. So that's somebody that Brad is familiar with. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But otherwise, and then there's some good EMS data in the back that just kind of tells you demographics. Who are we seeing? Why are we seeing them? Where are we taking them? All that kind of stuff. So enjoy it. If you don't have any other questions, I probably won't beat that to death, and we'll move on to the stuff that's specific just to the village.
Any other questions on this portion? Okay, sir, thank you.
All right, so what came up last year is, how are we doing compared to what we said we would do in the contract? So including in the packet is a map of what are the districts, what are the 8 districts. There's 5 different districts in District 8, 5 different broken down areas. And 2 of them are simply directions of Highway 172. And the reason we did that is because we specifically need to know where is the accident and whose responsibility is it and who can get there the quickest. So you have 8 A, B, and C, which are very clear, and then you have 8 D and E, which D is 172 from Webster heading west, and E is 172 heading east. And when you get to the responses on that, you'll notice that there's a difference. So the first response is simply, how are we doing in the whole village? And the contract number that everybody always wants to talk about is the 6 minutes. Are we getting to the patients on average in less than 6 minutes? And we actually are. We're doing quite well there. So it's a very boring one unit graph, but it makes the point. We're doing just fine. The second page is to show you a little bit more by district how we're doing, and clearly you'll note that the farther we get from the station, the longer it takes. But we're still managing to always get to where we need to be within 6 minutes until you get to the highway. And that's a factor of a number of things. People that call in incidents on the highway are going 65 miles an hour. And they pick up their phone and they dial and they keep on going because they're late for work or wherever they're going. And by the time they report the accident and get somebody on the phone, it's way back there. And now they're trying to describe to the dispatcher where is this incident exactly. And so it takes a little bit longer for them just to point out what they saw and where it is. And they're not always right because they don't remember. And so there's a delay. And then you add traffic into that. And so it's going to take longer to get from the station onto the highway through the traffic and figure out where in the world is this car that's in the ditch. And so that's why you'll see those times. I mean, they're certainly acceptable to us because we understand the challenges, but you're going to see that they don't fit within the 6 minutes, and that's why.
How about 8D? I don't see that.
Well, and the reason 8D is there is because in 2015 we didn't have any data that showed up for 8D. Now, on the next chart, it says that we went there four times. But when I ran my data, I got no responses, which tells me that we got called off. So we responded, and we thought there was an incident four times. Before we could get there, somebody came, either police canceled us, somebody called and said, you know what, we don't need you guys. So there was no finality. We never arrived at an incident which would give me times to run these charts for you.
Okay. Is there anything that can be done with the AD?
Not really. Get the best information you can. That's about it. It's traffic challenges, and it's knowing where the, if somebody gives me an address, I know where I'm going. If somebody says an accident happened and I'm passing the prison, it was back there. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it happens. So you do the best you can.
I just wanted to mention that I had to call for a first responder a couple weeks ago, and I was still on the phone with dispatch giving me instructions when the trucks showed up.
Sure.
I mean, it's on Webster Avenue next to the, at St. Matthew's, but still, it was pretty impressive. I go, sorry, they're here.
Well, we try.
Is the call, I'm guessing, the call volume in 8B is 50% or more, or almost 100% higher than A and 50% higher than C. Is that because of the number of senior facilities in there?
It tends to be the core of your community. It tends to be where the elderly or the people that don't have as much access to health care. It's a number of things, but it's probably the same as we'll see in the center of our city, okay. In the center of any municipality. I think that's what you're going to find as the city starts to stretch out. People may be younger, healthier, move out, and the elderly stay put. So that's about the best definition I can give you of it.
Makes sense.
Anything else on the specific metrics there? If not, I will move on to the organization. So in your annual report, you saw an organizational chart which represented where we were in 2015. As a result of the budget process and some of the requirements that we had to get under a certain number and some other challenges that we had, there were some reorganizations that took place, and that's why I provided you with a 2016 organizational chart. And the biggest changes that happened were at my level. In the past, we had the fire chief, and then we had the assistant chief, and then we had two division chiefs. And one division chief was in charge of support and training, and one was in charge of EMS, Emergency Medical Services. The Chief Litton combined the support and training with the EMS and created another assistant chief position. So there were a couple reasons for that. One was because we were up against it with the budget. You guys run into the same stuff with the statutes as we do, and it was a very restrictive year. So we had some trouble just getting through the budget. And the second thing was that we were having difficulty filling that position, and we felt that by moving some things around, we could get the same work done and fill it with a person that we already had on staff. So that change was made. We're 4 months into it. Everybody's working really hard because it's a bunch more work. Some of the duties that the support person had got transferred to my position in order to free him up to also take on the EMS side of things. So I'm telling you that nobody's got any time to look out the window, but it is what it is. That's what we had to do. So the fire marshal's office used to report to me. They now report to Chief Litton. I've taken over all fleet management duties, so I'm in charge of all the trucks and all the maintenance and the mechanic shop and all that kind of stuff. So we moved a bunch of stuff around like that. And then we added a training captain, which is good for everybody, because what we had in the past was a chief of training and two captains. Now that same chief of training has a lot of other work to do, but we gave him an additional captain. And the thinking there is that instead of having one captain that only knew how to teach EMS and one captain that only knew how to teach fire, we'll have three captains that can teach all of it. And, of course, somebody will have strengths in one area versus the other, but we want the ability to move those guys around depending on what our needs are. And so that's what we did. We have a third captain. We have actually three very good captains. Through our recent recruit academy, all three of those guys played a role, and all three of those guys got deeply involved with the training of the recruits. So it, right now it seems to be working quite well. It gives us the ability to get more training done. If you only have one training captain on duty, you can't do very much. If you have three, you can have maybe multiple things going on at the same time. So that's the direction that we went with that. And I did mention the recruit academy, so I'll just follow up on that. We just graduated six gentlemen Friday night. Again, we're thrilled with the hiring process and the people we got. We hired six of the very good young men, and we're happy to have them aboard. So we are pretty close to full strength. And the reason we're not at full strength, I'll get to in a minute. One of the other things that I want to talk about was we've had a couple changes in positions that the village will come across from time to time. So we have a public education position. I don't know how many of you guys ever got to meet Nick Craig or see Nick Craig on the television. But Nick Craig was our public education officer for 8 years, and he did a splendid job. Nick exercised his option to go back and be a fireman. We all sign up to be firemen. We appreciate guys that step into these roles, but we understand when they want to go back and be a fireman. So Nick went back to do that. A young man named Cody Johnson stepped up, and Cody is young, but he's enthusiastic. He's easygoing. He's smart. He's going to be a great fit for this position. So Cody's the guy you will now see in the schools, in media, doing those types of things, and I think we're going to do very well with Cody. In our fire marshal's office, we have a captain who runs the division and then two lieutenants. One of those lieutenants is responsible for a lot of the east side of Green Bay, but also the village. So Lieutenant Carl Linsmeyer exercised the same option to go back out and be a fireman. So we did a little recruiting, and we got a young man named Aaron Anderson, and Aaron came to us from the village of Bellevue, so he came with some fire experience and some investigation experience. He is on the Brown County Task Force, and so he has been investigating fires. He's been gaining certifications, and I think he's a great addition to the office, and he's the guy that will be working with the village. And I actually was going to be out and introduce him to you very soon, so you'll get a chance to meet Aaron. But we're very pleased that Aaron stepped up into that position. Down the road, he'll probably be running it because, you know, the other guys have been around a while and they won't be here forever. So welcome to Aaron for that, and Brad will get to meet him soon. The last transitional piece that I need to inform you of is that I have 16 days left and I'm retiring. So as a result of that, I'd like to introduce to you Chief Robert Goplin. Rob has been serving as a battalion chief for the last 3 years. Rob is going to be replacing me, and Rob comes with a vast amount of knowledge and experience on the fire department, and we could not have made a better choice. So you're certainly not going to miss a beat with Rob taking over for me. I guess that's all I've got to say. I do want to say that I'm proud to have been a part of this merger process and to have been able to work with the village for the last 3 years. This is a model that will be difficult to duplicate. We worked together well. It was a great idea. It was a great attitude that came together. The village wanted it. We wanted it. We work well together. So whether it can be done again like that, I don't know. But it certainly is a model, and it's certainly something to be proud of. So I want to thank the village and the board for supporting us and trusting us with your safety. And I think we held up our end of the bargain, but it's been a joy to work with you folks.
Thank you very much, Chief Neff, and thank you for everything you've done for us, and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
Any questions for Chief?
Thank you. Well, just a thank you for all your hard work with the merger and everything ever since. Really appreciate it.
Brad?
Good luck.
I do want to thank Mike. It's been a great relationship. Made my transition a lot easier. I don't know if any of the board really understands the work that Mike put in excuse me, DC Nut, but recent event, Mike, put in to make the merger possible and make it seamless. And my hat's off to DC Nut and the rest of the fire department. It's been a great merger. Certainly respond to anything and every question we ever have. We've got a great group over there. They assist us with multiple trainings. He mentioned Nick Craig, and looking forward to additional training coming in the future. To Joe Gabe, who responds to all the developments that get brought forward to make sure that they do meet the requirements. So, again, thank you very much.
Chief, how long have you been on the department?
27 years.
Thank you for what you've done. And welcome, Chief Goplin.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to say hello?
Sure.
Come on up.
Oh, boy.
Hello. Tell us a bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Rob Goplin. I've been with Green Bay Fire for 19 years. I've been a chief officer with Green Bay since 2007. I actually worked with the village in drafting the contract and on the merger agreement. Some of you were here at that time. Some of you are new, but I'm looking forward to it. And I can assure you that we will not only provide the same level of service with our emergency response, but the responsiveness that you've seen with Chief Nutt as well. We absolutely will strive to carry that forward. And if you have any concerns, I just ask that you call us right away, and we'll take care of them as soon as we possibly can.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
And welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. All we need is an adjournment, right? Good. Lost my agenda.
So did I.
What is it?
What's going on?
We're on the last one. That's organization for you, folks.
Move to adjourn?
Oh, here we go. Yes, number 13.
Mr. Genrich.
Yes.
Moves to adjourn. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.